Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministry.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly we give honor and thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. And Lord, we thank you just for today, of being able to be on the broadcast today. We thank God for all of those that will call in, those that will log in, those that will listen to the broadcast later. We thank God for each and every one of you that will join me here on Facebook. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. So thankful to still be on here talking about prayer. This is today we're going to talk about being praying in the Spirit. We've been talking about prayer. I think this is really week number 8. And I'm thinking that I'm winding this down and we're going to go on to the next topic, I think, which is humility. We're going to start talking about that. And this is all a part of these little hairs sticking all over my head. But anyway, these are part of building a better relationship with God. That's the topic of this particular series, and we're taking you through steps in order to begin to build that relationship with God. So we're just so thankful for being able to do that. The Lord gave me that, and so I've been teaching on that. I've done other series as well, but this series that we've been on for a while, because it's a lot in this series. So anyway, we thank God for each and every one of you. We're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for your mercy and for your grace. I thank you for being my strong tower, my righteousness. I thank you, God, for being very present help in the time of trouble, Lord. I thank you for being our refuge and our strength. I thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd, and I shall not want. I thank you, Lord, that you supply our every need according to your riches in glory. Lord, I ask you to bless all of those, Lord Jesus, under the sound of my voice who have lost loved ones, God. Comfort them as only you can, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for their comfort. We pray for their strength, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to be with them even when the funeral is over with and all the people have gone home. Lord, we ask you to continue to be there with them, so that they will know that you are with them and it's that you that will take them through this situation. God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, I pray for this country, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for all of those that are government workers that are not getting paid, Father, in the name of Jesus. They've been almost a month without having a paycheck, Father. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to provide supernaturally for them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Stay back the hands of the creditors and all of those that will try to come against them, oh God. We rebuke foreclosure. We rebuke repossessions. We rebuke cutoffs and all of those things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we plead the blood of Jesus on their behalf. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless everyone, Lord Jesus, that is going through all kind of situations, Father. We ask you, Lord, to bless them as only you can. You know what each and every person stands in need of. So, God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to begin to move mightily in their lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. They're trusting in you. They're believing in you. Their faith is in you, oh God. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to do it according to your will, Lord Jesus. So we thank you today. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless this word to fall on good ground. Bless all those that will hear this word. Bless those that need this word to be able to find it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I plead the blood over everybody's life under the sound of my voice. Lord, we speak healing, Lord. If they need healing, let your healing virtue flow through them. Flow, Lord, just like it did when it flowed through Jesus with the woman with the issue of blood. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, Lord, to touch everyone in the hospitals, okay? Lord, in nursing homes all over this land and country. Bless our soldiers all over this world, Father, in the name of Jesus. Give them the discernment, and God, and give them wisdom, Lord Jesus, so they will be able to discern the enemy all around them, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you to bless our police officers, oh God. Bless our paramedics and our firemen, our first responders, and every emergency hospital worker all over this land and country, every doctor, every nurse, everybody there, every technician, everybody, oh God. Touch them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Give them wisdom, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord, we rebuke, Lord Jesus, senseless killings, Father, in the name of Jesus. Touch our teachers in our school and our children, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord, to give them a different mindset. Let them come into the classrooms with a mind to learn. Bless our teachers, oh God, and don't let them be discouraged, Father. Everybody that's connected to a school system, Lord, we ask you to bless in the name of Jesus. Bless those that are going to work on their job, Father, in the name of Jesus. Be with them, God, hallelujah. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch them, oh God. Lord, we speak peace in the lives of your people. We speak prosperity in the lives of your people in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray in the Spirit. Let us be intercessors, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to get answered prayers and not unanswered prayers. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen, amen, and amen. We're so thankful for God and all that he's doing. I'm telling you, we got such an awesome word. You know, I always got to talk about that. Start talking about that word we got this morning. First of all, it was awesome. He said, the king is coming. I think that's what it was. I knew that. Sometimes I be getting it mixed up. And he talked about how when David, was coming into the king, he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into the tabernacle, David's tabernacle, and how he was king, but the king was coming. They're talking about Jesus Christ, talking about the king coming. So I'm telling you, I can't never do it no justice. If you need to hear that word, you need to go back out there to thepottersouth.org and listen to it. As I know, all of your pastors all over this land and country was preaching an awesome word of God, and you were being blessed by the word of God. And please, I always invite people to come to listen to your services. If the man of God or woman of God was a blessing to you, bless people to come and listen to that, because it might be a blessing to them. That's why I do that, because it was a blessing to me. So we're going to start talking about prayer. Prayer is just, I just love prayer anyway. That's our communication with God. So I'm going to recap real quick, just kind of go over what we have been talking about. I think when we started out talking about prayer, we just talked generally about it, about prayer being communicating with God, and how when we first are coming into the knowledge of God, and our prayers, you know, might be more centered on urgent requests. Lord, I need you to do this. Lord, I need you to do this. But as we continue to know God, as we continue to get more and more in his word, how our prayers begin to have a different approach to it. And how our prayers, we begin to, we start researching the scriptures, and we start praying the word of God. You know, we always pray the word of God. You're going to come out on top, because the Bible says that his word will not return unto him void. So that's our answer prayer. If I could say so myself, he's going to answer the prayer when it comes to his word. And then we talked about, you know, what is prayer? Prayer is just communicating with God. It is, communicating with God, because God that's our way of communicating with him. So we talked about that. That's our way to get our needs and our desires met through Jesus Christ. And then we talked about the key elements of the Lord's Prayer. We talked about adoration, hallowed be thy name, and divine intervention, the kingdom, thy kingdom come, submission, thy will be done. Provision, give us this day our daily bread, forgiveness, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, and guidance and deliverance, lead us not into temptation, praise, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So we talked about that, and then we talked about the power of prayer, and how studying God's word will help you develop a more stronger prayer life, and how, you know, just how important prayer is to us. And I talked about how there's approximately about 650 prayers in the Bible, and how 450 of those were answered prayers, and how 200 of them were not answered. And so we talked a little bit about that, and we talked about that you got to ask, you got to pray in faith, and always with prayer and thanksgiving. And we talked about some postures in prayer. You know, five specific postures of prayer mentioned in the Bible. It talked about sitting, it talked about standing, it talked about kneeling, it talked about laying prostrate with your face to the ground and with your hands lifted up. Then we talked about the types of prayer. We talked about nine main types of prayer, the prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, also known as corporate prayer, the prayer of request, also known as a petition and supplication. We talked about the prayer of thanksgiving. We talked about a prayer of worship, prayer of consecration, and also known as the prayer of dedication. We talked about the prayer of intercession, prayer of implication, and we talked about that, and praying now, and then praying in the Spirit, and that's what we're going to talk about today, praying in the Spirit. But then we also, we talked about intercessory prayer, and how that, you know, the background of intercessory prayer was the priest standing in the gap for the people. They were standing in the position between a God and between a holy God and a sinful man, and how they offered up sacrifice and they worshiped God on our behalf. If we think about the Day of Atonement, They went in to the holies on our behalf. And so on the behalf of the people. So those are some of the things we got to think about when we talk about intercession. And even how, you know, I talked about us being intercessors. I talked about, I think it's James 5, where in the fifth chapter, where it talked about the prayer of the righteous availing much, and how that you know, it was the prayer, the people praying that had the faith, not necessarily the one that was being prayed for. I mean, we got to have prayer. If we're gonna ask for prayer, we need to have faith that we're gonna receive what we're asking for prayer for. But it talked about them people that were praying for them, how they had faith. And you know, I kept talking about, you know, if you're gonna have somebody pray for you, make sure they got faith. Do not be sitting up there having somebody with no faith calling your name in prayer about something. Because if they don't have no faith for it, then that prayer probably is not going to be answered. And then we went from there and we started talking about unanswered prayers and some of the things that causes our prayers to be unanswered, like doubt and hypocrisy and pride and poor relationships, rudeness, unforgiveness, malice, and anger, wrath, and divisiveness. And we talked about, you know, major sins, doing evil. Those things will cause our prayers not to be answered. Praying amiss with a lack of persistence, not fasting, not using Jesus' name. You know, we have to pray in Jesus' name. Jesus is the one that gave us the access to God by his sacrifice on the cross, by his blood sacrifice. He opened up the way for us to be able to not to have to go through the priest to get atonement, but now we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And then I told you, even when I boldly come, and that didn't mean arrogant, that means humbly coming before God and praying. So those are some of the things that we have to do. We have to humbly come before God. So we talked about that. And then, of course, we talked about answered prayer. And the key, prayer is the key. And, you know, they always say this is a familiar saying. Prayer is the key, and faith unlocks the door to the moving, but this part is moving power, his prayer answering power. God, remember I said we're the ones praying, but God is the one with the power. He is the one that's going to cause the prayers to come, the prayers to be answered. But it is our faith. We have to have faith in God. Hebrews 11, let me see if I find, because I know I got it on here somewhere, but Hebrews 11 tells us about that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So we got to come, when we come to God, we got to believe that he is. We got to believe that he will answer the prayer. We got to believe that we're going to have our petition is, that we can receive. And then we got to keep praying until it comes to pass. If you know that you're doing what's right, you're in the will of God, you're praying the will of God, you're praying the word of God, then you just got to keep praying until it comes to pass. Because God wants to answer our prayers. He is not up there saying, well, I ain't going to answer her prayer. No, God wants to answer our prayers. So we got to remember that. We got to remember that God is, he's a loving God. He wants us to pray. And then I think, and I'm going to go way down here because I was going to do this at the closing, but I thought about that. So since let me go way down here to get it because I got it way down here somewhere. But anyway, I thought about God. You know, God knows our thoughts. God, but he responds to our prayers. So we have to come to a place of realizing that first of all, prayer is a privilege. It is a privilege that we have, but it's only given us to us through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is one that gives us the privilege of prayer by his blood sacrifice on the cross. And so he granted us access to the privilege of prayer is ours. But the power of prayer belongs to God. And so this is the thing. Power of prayer is always God, right? But without God, we cannot do it. And then we cannot do it. Let me get it. I got it wrote down. Okay, without God, we cannot do it. Without us, God won't do it. So what that means is that we can't do it without God, but we got to pray if we want God to do it. Because our prayer gives God access to answer our prayer for him to begin to activate the power of prayer, the power in order for our prayers to be answered. And that's what I was saying. So we got to remember that. So things will not happen unless we pray and with faith. And then then we talked about intercession. I want to go back to that. We talked about intercession, and I talked about us being a royal priesthood, because that's what Jesus said. He called us a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And so, therefore, we have the same kind of thing going on, because we are standing in the gap for our families. We're standing in the gap for this nation. We're standing in the gap for people around us. So I talked about us the power of prayer. And really, I talked about us always being ready to pray, because we don't know what situations we may come up against at any time, and we have to be ready to pray. I talked about how the young man was talking about was having pain on his left side, and I didn't really want to say that, you know, I thought that might be a heart attack or something like that. I didn't quote that out of my mouth. And then the next thing I know, I told you he fell back, and I remember hollering 911. Then I remember getting up and running over there and starting to pray for him. And so I prayed for him, because I always remember Bishop Norman Wagner talking about, don't let them die on your watch. If you're supposed to be praying, don't let them die on your watch. You know, make sure if you say you're praying, and you pray and intercede for the people that you're supposed to intercede for. So I got down there and prayed, and I remember he was out cold, but the Lord blessed his eyes to come back open. And then by the time the paramedics got there, he was conscious again. So I thank God for that, because I responded with prayer. And then I talked about how I was in the hospital and how I had told them as they gave me that medicine, how I told them that I was going to see them on the other side. And they discerned that to be that enemy trying to take me out of here, that the enemy was trying. And then the nurse came and told me a couple of days later, she said, mm-mm. She said, when I heard you say, she heard me say that, she began to rebuke the devil. She said, nobody's going to die on my watch. That's what she told me. And so I did. And so even when I was getting ready to leave the hospital, how that Elder Johnson and Elder Davis called me, Elder Ledger Johnson and Elder Davis called me, and they called me before I left that hospital, and they prayed for me. And then after that prayer, I got up, and I told the nurse, I said, I'm going to go walk again, because I was waiting on my ride to come and pick me up. And even after that, how I began to have some complications breathing. And I told them, I said, something's wrong. And they said, oh, that's gas. I said, no, this ain't no gas. And it ended up being a blood clot on my lung. And how that you probably would have went home, you would not probably have made it back here. But how that prayer that they prayed for me, they interceded for me, and how the enemy was exposed of what he was trying to do. He had already tried before I went into surgery. And when I was in surgery, I told you about how I had such a difficult time coming out of it, enduring recovery. And because that's what was already there, that blood clot. But how the Lord blessed them to pray for me, and how I recovered, how I was able to, that was exposed, and the Lord spared me, and the Lord blessed me. So all of these things I told you about, being always on your watch and being ready to pray, how we are supposed to be ready to pray. So I talked about that. And so then we talked about that, and then I talked about answer prayer, and how the Lord wants to answer our prayers. And I gave us several scriptures for that, and I won't go back over them. You can listen to that broadcast because it's still out there. But anyway, now we want to talk about praying in the Spirit. What does that really mean? What does it really mean to pray in the Spirit? Now, there are three recorded scriptures in the Bible that actually talks about praying in the Spirit, one being 1 Corinthians 4:14, 14, and 19. But let's talk about what we think the definition of it is. It says the concept of praying in the Spirit, of course, is mentioned those three times I talked about that, and said that Paul referenced to praying in the Spirit, that here we cannot be taken, means that we're praying in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, it's really the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is pushing our prayer. He is revealing to us what we're to pray for. Now, you know, sometimes we think of it as praying in tongues, and it is. But when you're in the midst of a bunch of people, then praying in tongues is probably not the best, because the other people around you don't know what's being said. They don't have, unless there's an interpreter in the place, then, you know, then that's interpreted. But praying in the Spirit is us allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our prayers. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our prayers, and I do still believe that it is speaking in unto you, speaking in your prayer language as well, especially when you're in prayer, in your alone prayer, and you begin to speak, you begin to pray in the Spirit. You are speaking in your prayer language, and the Holy Spirit is pushing it. The Holy Spirit is pushing it. So, because Jesus told us that he would send us the Comforter, and so he is the Comforter, he is the one, our counselor, he is the one that is leading and guiding us at this time. Because I got the scripture on here. Jesus said, praying in the Spirit is a wonderful experience that comes from having a relationship with God. First of all, this is not Jesus saying, this is what I'm saying. Having a relationship with God, God's Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit makes sense when we read Jesus' word of encouragement. He told his followers, he said in John 4:24, he said, God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we are to worship God in spirit. So this is what Jesus was telling. Then Jesus went on to tell him, he said, I must go, but I'm going to send a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And he said that he will be with you and then in you. And this is John 14:16. So let me read it in the NIV. It says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. This is in the NIV version. In the King James, it says comforter. To be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That's the Holy Ghost. That's what we're talking about there. And so then we talk about the three references that talks about praying in the Spirit. And I'm going to read all these scriptures. I know it's going to be a little lengthy, but I'm going to read them. It says, 1 Corinthians 4:14-19, this is the King James Version. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. And so, and then 15 says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at any giving thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou barely givest thanks well, but the others is not edified. So that's what I was talking about. We can be praying in tongues in the midst of people, but if there's no interpreter there, then a lot of them are unlearned. They don't know what they're saying amen to, because they really can't understand what you're talking about when you pray in the Spirit like that amongst people. And so he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak, this is Paul talking, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, but by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So that's what he was talking about when he talked about that. When you're in the midst of people that cannot understand or cannot interpret your tongues, then you have to speak with edification. You have to speak in your own language so that they can understand. Now, I know on the day of Pentecost, it said when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and when they were speaking in tongues, it says each man that was there heard the word of God in their own language. And so they were speaking in tongues that day, and they actually did hear, because they were speaking in the languages of the people that were standing around, so that they heard the word of God. They responded to the word of God. They were baptized, and it said 3,000 souls was added to the church that day. And so those are some of the things we think about when we think about praying in the Spirit. But then the next thing, the next verse is Ephesians 6:10-18, and I might not read it. Let me see what my time is, because, you know, I got to be careful. I've got 37 minutes, so I got to get done. So anyway, but it talks about, I want to lift up the 18th verse specifically, because this talks about putting on the whole armor of God is what it said. But in the 18th verse, it says, pray at all times, on every occasion. This is in the Amplified Classic, I think. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayers and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all saints, God's consecrated people. And that's what it says in the Amplified Classic. Let me go up and see if I can find the King James Version. Because, you know, I'm just, you know, sometimes we raise on that King James, and so that sometimes we get it is what it is. But so I like to give both of them interpretations. And see, I got it up here, it's right up here. I just saw it. Here it is over here. Got to figure out which word it is. It's right here. Anyway, let's see. Here we go. And so here it says in this particular version, it talks about, here it is. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, oh, that's the NIV. No, I still got the wrong version. That's the NIV. I don't know where my King James Version is on here, and I don't want to keep searching for it because it takes too long. But anyway, we're talking about this. We're talking about praying in the Spirit. So when you talk about praying in the Spirit, you are talking about that the Holy Spirit is leading the prayer. It is pushing you in prayer. And so that's what's going on in that particular time, in that particular thing. And then if we read on Romans 8 and 26, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and with words cannot which words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according with God's will. So that's when we're praying in the Spirit and we're allowing the Spirit to make utterances for us. He is praying the will of God, and God knows what the Spirit is praying, and so therefore God can answer those prayers. It said in the text, it said we can understand what praying in the Spirit means. God's Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He guides us in our prayers. He helps us in our weakness. And when we pray in the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit guides you. He leads you in prayer. It can be done through speaking in tongues, but it can also be done through speaking in our own language. So either way, that can be done, speaking in our own language. And said, we do not know what we will be praying when we pray in the Spirit, but God's Spirit takes charge, and he knows our burdens and our needs, and he knows as well God's will and what is best for us. So when we allow the Spirit to pray for us, when we get out and he makes those groanings and those utterances, God knows what we're saying. And so that's when we're praying Spirit to Spirit. God is a Spirit. We're praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us. And so therefore, God is hearing what we're saying in that regard. So it's good to pray in the Spirit. It's a good thing to pray in the Spirit because the Lord hears us. And then the thing is, when we're praying like that, then we have to wait for the Lord to. We got to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. We have to wait on God always, so we can hear what God is saying back to us. Sometimes we just jump down there and pray, and we're on a busy day, and we jump and pray, and we keep it moving. But sometimes we need to take time to hear what God is saying. That's why sometimes we don't make good decisions, because we don't take the time to hear what God is saying. Once we pray, we need to take the time to hear what God is saying, is praying to us. And then also, I want to encourage people, I'm not saying that people are not saved and people are not there, but really be careful who you really do ask God to pray, or who you ask to pray with you on certain things. When you really got a need and you want, because there's nothing that corporate prayer is good. Corporate prayer is them prayers you get with other people because you got some stuff to fight. And when you got that, sometimes you need those reinforcements. So you want to have good corporate prayer. You want to be involved in individual prayer as well as corporate prayer, because it's all necessary in our prayer lives and in our battle, in what's going on. You know, God and the enemy and the devil are the ones in a battle. But, you know, he tries to get to us. He tries to discourage us. He tries to speak things in our minds that God is not going to do it, or God is not going to do this. But we got to be encouraged in the Lord that God hears our prayers. Now, if you bitter and you sitting around with unforgiveness and you all those things, then maybe not. Because you got to get your heart right. Like I told y'all, it's a heart matter. Your heart got to be right with God. You got to be praying with the right heart. You can't be praying and you upset with everybody and mad at everybody and bitter about this. Well, your husband left you, I'm bitter about that. Or the wife left you, you're bitter about that. And you just got all this stuff. All that got to come out. You got to clear the clutter. You got to let the stones be rolled away so that you can be able to come out free. You know, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, they said they had to roll the stone away. Well, some of us got a bunch of stones on our heart, over our heart. We got to let the stones be rolled away so we can come out and be delivered. Then we can get some prayers answered, because you want God to answer your prayers. You don't want to be down there praying amiss. You don't want that. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, then don't pray. You know, they say that all the time. I think I heard 56 say that. I don't even know that's one of the saints. I believe I heard him on Oprah say that. He said, if you're going to worry, don't pray. And so, you know what I'm saying? So we can't worry. We can't be anxious. You know, we have to make sure. That's why sometimes it's good to let the Spirit pray, because sometimes we might be so bogged down with things, but if we let the Holy Spirit begin to make intercession for us, that he knows exactly what it is we need. He knows exactly what it is that we need God to hear and we need God to answer. So that's why sometimes we got to get in the spirit and begin to pray. When things are really tough for you, you got to get in the spirit and let him begin to pray. The Bible says he will be with you and he will be in you. So you need the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, ask God to give you the Holy Ghost. Ask him to give it to you. He ain't going to not give it to you. It's a gift. And he likes to give gifts. So the Holy Ghost is a gift. So get it. If you don't have it, if you somebody that you haven't made that that hasn't been a part of your you haven't got to that place in your walk with the Lord, get what you need from God. Ask God for those things. He'll give it to you. He'll give you the understanding of it. If you pray and say, Lord, I don't really understand it, ask, tell him. He will give you the understanding of it. He will help you through that process. That's why I always tell people that really are first coming to God or newly saved or even some people been in the church all their life and haven't made that step. I think it was John's disciples, when they came to them, they said, we have not so much as heard of the Holy Ghost. Well, then they baptized them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So sometimes you got to ask God. God will get, just like he tells us to ask for wisdom. He said if we ask for wisdom, he'll give it to us, and he'll give it liberally and upbraided not. It means he won't take it away. So we got to make sure that we ask God for these things. He's willing to give it to us. He's a loving God. He don't have no respect to person. Don't be sitting over there looking at so-and-so and say what they did for them. He ain't done nothing for me. He don't have no respect to person. So we can stop that. And if we get in the right frame of mind and get the right heart, we can have our prayers answered as well. And so those are the things you want to do. I was getting tickled. I was on my way home this week, and I got tickled about this. I said, you know what? We got it. I said, Lord, I told him, well, we sometimes got to be careful who we asking to pray for us. Because I thought to myself, if you got financial difficulties, one thing you don't want to do is don't ask nobody who ain't no faithful, tithe, cheerful, giver, and good steward to pray for your finances. Because they in error. They standing in error. So you don't want them praying for your finances because they can't get there. How are they going to get their answers when they are out of the will of God when it comes to that? So we got to make sure that we ask the right people to pray for us, the people with faith, the people that are in sin. I'm not saying that they not saved. I'm not saying that you don't love them. I'm not saying anything. But when you really need God to do something, you got to get the right people on your team. You got to get the right prayer partner. Just because Sister So-and-so been your prayer partner down through the years, that don't mean I get somebody that can get a prayer through. I remember when we was coming up in the church, and we used to go to prayer service, and we'd be down there praying over a couple of hours, and then Mother Brown would get up and she would ask her. She said, "What did God tell you?" And if you say you didn't have nothing that the Lord told you, she said, "I know you weren't down there all that time, and the Lord didn't say nothing to you." She said, "So they taught us how to push in prayer. They taught us how to lay on our faith and get a prayer through praying the word and lay on our face and keep pushing in prayer till we got an answer." And I told you early on that was how I developed my prayer life. It was through me having to be a caretaker of my mom and my aunt, and how I had to start praying if I was gonna make it. If I wouldn't have started praying and meditating on the word of God before they got up, I'm telling you, I don't know if I'd have been sane, because that was a rough way to go. Not that they were trying to hurt me or harm me, but when you're 18 years old and you got that kind of responsibility, that is something. I can't say nothing, but it was the Lord who was on my side that got me through it. It was the Lord who blessed me to taught me how to pray and taught me how to meditate on his word and begin to get some strength. And because of that, that's how I developed that prayer. I developed a prayer life and developed a time to prayer. I still get up early in the morning and pray, because that's when I'm at my best in the morning. So I get up then and pray. Now, at night, I might can whisper prayer, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to do a whole lot. I told you a funny story about a young lady that called me and asked me to pray, and I was so tired. And I'm telling you, I wanted to pray, but then again, I didn't want to pray because I was exhausted. I had been working. We had been working to 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, just back to back. And I think this was one day I got home about 8 o'clock, and they asked me to pray. And, you know, and I knew they wanted me to really pray, but, you know, some people, they can't accept prayer unless you really, do it, Jesus, doing all that. And I didn't want to wake myself up, because I knew if I went to that kind of prayer, that I was going to be up the rest of the night. Because if I wake myself up, then I'm up. So Stockton, I'm not doing all that. I'm just going to talk and listen. And then we're going to, you know, I'm going to talk and we're going to listen. She's going to talk. I'm going to listen. But I'm not going to do all that howling and screaming tonight because I want to go to sleep. That was the truth. And that's what I did. I went to sleep after I got to talk to her. And I whispered a prayer. How about that? Sometimes you got to whisper a prayer for somebody because they work too. Whisper a prayer, work, short prayers, work, whatever it is. You ain't got to do all that hollering, screaming all the time. You don't have to do it all the time. Now, sometimes it calls for that, but sometimes it don't. Just whisper a prayer, honey, get the prayer right on through to heaven. If you got your heart right, it'll go right on through to heaven. It'll be like that in sin. Jesus is up there sitting on the right hand of the Father. He is interceding for us as well. And so we have all these things in our favor. So well, we just got to make sure, what time is it? Oh, we got to make sure, I think I moved a little faster today than what I used to do. But anyway, we got to make sure that we pray in the Spirit, that we learn how to pray in the Spirit. And I really don't think I've done this as much justice as I could, so I might have to pick it back up next week and really get, let me get my notes. I have so many notes and stuff like that, and then I get on here and then I act like I get confused. I don't know where my notes are, but anyway, they are here. But anyway, so I just wanted us to make sure that we begin to learn about that, how to pray in the Spirit, how to let the Holy Spirit begin to make intercession for us, and how the Holy Spirit will lead us in prayer. Now, let me say this. Don't quench the Spirit. This is one thing we can't do. And a lot of times, I was talking about even with intercessory prayer, sometimes the Lord will wake you up or the Lord will unction you to pray about something. And you need to, when he unctions you to do that, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Begin to pray about that thing because you don't know what it is that you are praying against or you are saving. I remember hearing a lady talk about her husband. She said her husband usually gets up around 4:30 in the morning and how the Lord woke her up at 4:30 that morning and began to really pray for him. And she was praying for him. So then when he finally got home, she asked him how he was doing. He said, oh, my God. He said, I don't even know how I made it home. He said, I was so exhausted. I was so tired. And I kept feeling like I was falling asleep. I can't tell you how I made it home. That's what he said. And she said, oh, I know how you made it home because the Lord woke me up. He unctioned me to pray for you. And I continued in prayer until you made it home. And so it was her intercession for him that caused him not to have an accident or caused him not to have any problem on his commute home because he was just that exhausted. So what I'm saying is, you know, when we get those unctions to pray for people or people are steadily on our mind, then we need to begin to pray for them because you are interceding for them, and then the Holy Spirit is leading you into a place of prayer. So don't quench the Spirit when the Spirit is unctioning you to pray for people or unctioning you to, you know, to stand in the gap for somebody. Make sure that you actually do, you know, begin to pray for them. And, you know, sometimes that means you might have to get up early. It might be a 2:30 call in the morning where the Lord puts something on your mind and you can't sleep and you tossing and turning. Don't just keep tossing and turning and trying to make yourself go back to sleep. Get on up and pray. Get on up and intercede for them. God will give you the, God will make sure you're rested. He will make sure you're rested. He ain't going to ask you to do nothing and then you not be rested. So he will do his part. But if sometimes, like I said, the Lord, when it comes to intercession and when it comes to praying in the Spirit, he's given us what to pray. We're praying what he's telling us to pray, and then he begins to activate the power to answer the prayer. So we got to make sure we understand that when God unctions us to pray, that we have to pray. And people say, well, you know, it's not my thing. No, prayer is everybody's assignment. There ain't a person that not a blood-washed believer who is not assigned to prayer. The Bible tells us we ought to always pray and not faint. Then it tells us we need to pray without ceasing. And then when we are called of God, and when we are saved, then we become a part of that royal priesthood. So we are to stand in the gap. That is a symbol. If we think about the priests in the Old Testament, how they stood in the gap. I said this earlier, how they stood in the gap between a holy God and a sinful man. So we got the same thing. We are all called to prayer. It is not just Sister So-and-so or Pastor So-and-so's job or Elder So. Everybody's called to prayer. We ought to keep our leadership in prayer, our pastors, our apostles, our prophets, our teachers, our evangelists, all the elders and ministers, our people. We need our family members. We need to keep them in prayer. We got to pray for this nation. We may not agree with none of the politics that's going on. We may or may not. But we got to still pray because that is our duty. that God is requiring us to do that. We're the ones that can intercede for this nation. We're the ones that can fast and pray that this thing, that the thing that's being done is turned around. The Bible says if we would humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven, then he'll forgive our sins and heal the land. So if we want the land to be healed, then we got to be the ones standing in the gap. It ain't they're not going to stand in the gap. It's us that's got to stand in the gap. It's us that got to turn our plates over. It's us that got to plead, just like Nehemiah and just like Ezra, just like Moses, just like Jesus, just like all of them. They prayed for the sins of the nation that they would repent. We got to do the same thing. We got to pray for the sins of this nation. We got to pray for the sins. It's a sin going on with this government shutdown. That is a sin. I remember they are not supposed to withhold nobody's wages when they're working for them. It's in the Bible. I think it's over in Corinthians somewhere. Look it up. I have to look it up and give you the scripture. But it's in there. They cannot withhold that. That is a sin. So it's a sin. They're out of order. That's what they're out of order with God. Because first of all, you hold up a whole bunch of stuff. People can't pay their tithe. People can't pay their offering. People can't do what they're supposed to. They can't pay their bills. They can't meet their obligations. That's out of order. So we have got to be the ones that pray for the sins of this nation that they will repent. That's why we got so much foolishness going on. Come on, wake up. Wake up, people of God. Let's get together and begin to pray. Let us get together and begin to pray. We have got to stand in the gap for the sinful nation. It was the priest, and then it was the sinful as men. They stood in the gap between a holy God and a sinful people. That's what our assignment is. We are assigned to that as well. We have got to begin to pray for this nation. That's why all of those examples are for us in the Bible, because that's what they did. Jonah didn't want Nineveh to get saved, but God sent a word to Nineveh. And because they believed God, they began to fast and pray. And the fate of that nation was turned around. Did you hear what I said? Nineveh was not really a holy nation, but they did. The king believed in God. And because Jonah finally got his word to him, he didn't want to take it. But because they was mean, they was evil. They was evil people. And so but when he finally got the word to him, they were obedient. And they began to pray, fast and pray. And that turned the fate of that nation around. Now, if we want the fate of this nation to be turned around, people of God, we got to begin to fast and pray that it will happen. Oh, my God. So, Lord, I thank God for just the word of God today. We got to begin to pray in the spirit, pray for your family members, pray for your loved ones that are not saved, that the Lord would draw them and that they will begin to give their life to the Lord and just continue to pray for them. Don't cease to pray for them till you see it done. I told a story about one of the mothers in the church. She prayed for her husband for years. I mean years. It was years. But he got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and before he passed away, he was living with Jesus. He was living a life of Christianity. He was living a life walking upright before the Lord. So I'm telling you, sometimes we got to keep laboring in prayer for him. If somebody's sick, keep laboring in prayer for him. I'm telling you, you just got to keep praying. Pray till you get the answer. The widow with the unjust judge kept going to him until she got out. She was avenged of her adversary. So we got to keep praying. Allow the Holy Spirit to pray for you. Allow him to lead and guide you in prayer, because sometimes we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what to pray for when it comes to people. But if we allow the Holy Spirit's leading, we allow him pushing us in prayer, then we will begin to get those prayers that God is giving us. He's giving us the unction to pray, and then we're praying, and then he's activating his answer, his power in the earth. It's us praying, but God has the power. He is the one with the power. So I always want to invite people to Christ. I don't know who was on this line, never. I never do know who's on there, but one thing I do know is that we are saved. By faith, we're saved. By grace, we're saved through faith, and it is because of Jesus Christ that you can be saved. And so I like to make sure that I give the opportunity for somebody that maybe you didn't make the church this morning, maybe you didn't give your life this morning, but you have an opportunity now to give your life to Christ. to give your life to Christ, and you have that opportunity, because we want to make sure people say the point of this broadcast is for people to be saved and for people to be able to walk, be able to have that firm foundation. That's why the Lord gave it to me to say foundations of truth, the foundations of truth, because we got to have a firm foundation. I know somebody did for me. They taught me the Word of God. And so I got a firm foundation. If I didn't have that foundation, I'm not really sure what would be going on, because you'd be waving back and forth. But I can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water because of that firm foundation that was given to me through the Word of God, through the teaching of God, through the prayers of the saints. And so that is what God told me to do. He said, teach foundational truth. So that's what I'm doing, because I want people to be able to be saved, people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, people to have a walk with the Lord, and so that they can be doing what God has told them to do. They can give their lives to the Lord, find them a good Bible-believing teaching church, and begin to continue to grow with God and to grow in Him. And so that is our purpose for this ministry and for this broadcast, because I want people to be saved. I love to see souls get saved. That just does my heart glad. It ain't nothing I'm doing, but it's whatever God has given me. And if they hear the word and then it causes them to turn their life around, that is such a blessing to see. I see it all the time when we go over to the hospitals, over to the transformation hospitals. We see people give their lives to the Lord, and we're just so thankful for that opportunity to minister the word of God to people. It's just awesome to be able to do it, so I love doing it. And so, you know, and I tell people all the time, because, you know, we have a platform. We don't have to be up on the pulpit doing nothing. We got too much to do. We got people on our jobs. We got, you know, at the grocery store. You'll never know where you might be that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that it will be a blessing to somebody that will hear it. I'm saying we got work to do. And when, like, we talk about our children, we got a whole lot of work to do. Because our children are in trouble. I see them every day. I'm back over at the school with them. They over there on them phones. They listening to all kind of stuff. You trying to teach, and they on the phone. I told them, if we're going to get our work done first, and then if we got some time, you can get on that phone. But you're going to learn something if you're going to be in here with me. And, you know, I am who I am. So, you know, I call on the Lord to do everything else. That's just who I am. I don't mean to do it because, you know, they don't want us to be doing all that. But, honey, our kids need the Lord. I don't care. They need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And so we have got to pray for them, got to pray for all of the administrators, all of the teachers, all the bus drivers, all the bus monitors. We got to pray for the cafeteria workers, the hall monitors, the police officers, the counselors, all of the people, the nurse, all of the people that have something to do with our children in the school system, because I'm telling you, they need help. They need our help. They need to come back into the awareness of who God is. You know what I'm saying? Because if not, then we got to do it. So our generation, we got plenty to do. It ain't time for us to go somewhere and sit down because we done got older. We got stuff to do because we're that generation that was really poured into. The gospel was poured into us. We're standing on those firm foundations, so we got to help other people get on that foundation. You got something to do. You might not be up in front of the church doing it, but that don't mean you don't have a job to do. We're supposed to go into all the world, teach and preach the gospel. So these are the things we got to do, and we're all called to prayer. I'm going to say that one more time. We are all called to prayer. Nobody is exempt. You can't say, well, I'm not a prayer, but maybe you don't want to be out front praying the prayer, but you are called to prayer. You're called to intercede. You're called to it. I'm telling you, we all got that call. He said we are to always pray in our faith and pray without ceasing. So I'm going to keep on saying that, and then I'm always going to tell you this word of encouragement. If you're going to get somebody to pray and touch and agree with you, make sure they got faith. Make sure that they're not in error, because like I said, you don't want nobody praying about your finances who is not a faithful tither, a cheerful giver, and a good steward. You don't want that. You want people that are in alignment with the Word of God, in alignment with God, asking, going on your behalf in prayer. That's what James 5, Psalm 5:15 said. He said, the prayers of the righteous avail as much. So you want to make sure that's what's going on. I keep saying that. But anyway, we're talking about people that want to give their life to the Lord. If you're that person, if you would pray this prayer for me, dear God, I want to be a part of your family. And Lord, I am a sinner. I acknowledge my sin. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins. I acknowledge that you have raised Jesus from the dead, and I accept him as my Lord and Savior. And, Lord, I want to be saved. And so, Lord, I believe if you have prayed that prayer right there, just that much right there, that God has saved you, that he has forgiven you of your sin, and that you are now a part of his family. You have been adopted into the family of God. You are accepted in the beloved. So I believe that today. And so you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin, and that he will forgive you of your sin, and that you believe that Christ has been raised from the dead, and so God is saved. You are saved. I believe that with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. And I believe that you, if you find you a good Bible-believing teaching church, that you will continue to grow in Christ. I believe salvation is progressive. You know, we're first on milk, and then we go to meat, so it's progressive. So, therefore, you will continue to grow every day of your life. If you stay with Jesus, you'll continue to grow in him. You'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. And like I said, your prayer life will even change. Once you begin to learn the word of God and begin to pray the word of God, remember, if you pray the word of God, you got to understand that your prayer is going to be answered, because he said his word will not return on him void. Of course, that means if you ain't got no bitterness, all that stuff in your heart, get that heart right. Ask God. This is one of my prayers every day. Lord, let my heart be right with you. Let my heart be right with you. Matter of fact, I want to have that heart, like David, after God's own heart. I want that kind of heart, because I want my heart to be right with you, because one thing I don't want to do is go to hell. I told the Lord, please don't let me live. Don't let me be like one of them. You say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I knew you not. That's not what I want. I want to go to heaven. You don't be down here with all this foolishness and then go to hell. You want to go to heaven. I tell my family that all the time, you want to be heaven bound. You don't want to be hell bound. Anyway, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for joining me. I thank God for all of those that logged in, those that called in, those that will listen to the broadcast later, those that join me here on Facebook Live. Let's pray real quick, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, again, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person under the sound of my voice. I ask you, Lord, for your divine protection over their life. I ask you, Lord, to let your angels encamp around about them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Lord, as they go through this week, be their guide, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit lead and guide them. Order their steps in your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they walk past, if they see somebody that needs you, let them be a bold enough to minister the gospel, Father. Lord, we ask you, Lord, I plead the blood over their households. You know what they stand in need of, God, in the name of Jesus. If it's finances, bless them with what they need. Lord, bless them, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. If it's healing, bless them with healing. If it's strength, bless them with strength. If it's peace, bless them with peace. If it's joy, give them joy, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to increase their faith, oh God, that when they come to you in prayer, that they will believe and they will receive what they have asked for, Father, because they trusted in you and they have faith in you, oh God. Lord, give them that faith as a grain of mustard seed, oh God. Lord, that they will say to the mountain and the mountain will be removed, Father. Lord, don't let them talk about the mountains, but let them speak to them, oh God, that they will be moved out of their way. So, Lord, we thank you today for everybody. Thank you, Lord, for that soul that gave his life to the Lord, gave their life to the Lord today. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all those that came into the kingdom today all over this land and country. Lord, we thank you for them. Lord, strengthen them, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every pastor, every apostle, every prophet, every teacher, every evangelist. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Every music director, I pray for them all, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we plead the blood over their lives right now. Strengthen them, oh God. As they pour it out to us this morning, we ask you, Lord, to pour back into them. Strengthen them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to lead and guide, Lord Jesus. Lord, bless people as they begin to go to work. Some are going today. Some are going tomorrow, whatever they're doing, oh God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless. Lord, we rebuke every assignment of the enemy that will try to come up against the people of God. We rebuke every gun attack, every senseless killing attack that's trying to deform. But, Lord, you said no weapon formed against us will prosper, and any tongue that rises against us, Lord, that we shall condemn. So, Lord, we thank you today for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the Lord being upon our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the peace of God in our life. And, Lord, we thank you for your protection all around about us. We thank you for being that wall of fire around about us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you. Keep our minds, Father. Bless us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the activity and use of our limbs, God. And we thank you for all our senses working, God. And we thank you for our minds being kept. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. God bless you all. God keep you all is my prayer, that you will be blessed and continue to go as God has told you to go. Whatever God has told you to do and purpose in your heart and the purpose for your life, begin to do it. We rebuke fear and doubt. Don't care about what nobody, the naysayers, got to say. Do what God has asked you to do. Do what's in your heart, what God is telling you to do, and God will bless you. Don't despise the days of small beginnings, but just keep right on doing it. Get it in your heart to do it. Don't let nobody take it from you. In Jesus' name, plead the blood over everybody that's still joining in, but we thank you. God bless you all, and may he keep you is my prayer, and we will see you back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast. God bless you.
Okay. I'm done in this episode. Whoever kept calling, I don't know. They hung up, so I wouldn't ask them to pray.